With the Doxa Arts Festival coming up this Saturday at Worcester Christian Church, I want to offer some insight into Christian art, and particularly prophetic art. And who better to ask than one of the exhibitors, who happens to be my wife, and someone you, our listeners, have got to know a little since our broadcasting started. Lorianne, though you haven't come from afar, welcome to CWCP Radio.
Thank you. I have my other hat on.
One of the most enduring themes in classic and some modern art is our faith. Why do you think that is?
Well, partly because of the centrality of Jesus in Western culture. There is so much story based on him in art, in music, in books. It's all over in Western culture. So even if you're not a Christian, it does inform Western culture. However, it's a lot more than just an informer of culture. Many artists throughout the ages have painted Jesus or what they thought that Jesus would look like. He wasn't necessarily a white Western European. Yeah, or how they would imagine Jesus. And that's just Jesus. I mean, then there's also the Jewish context of art.
Then came along prophetic art in the relatively recent past. Can you offer what triggered this in the art world?
Other than the Holy Spirit, I'm not quite sure how to say if there was a specific historical movement back in the past. I know that there are some visionary artists in the past who have done what some people might call more spiritual work, William Blake being one of them. Holman Hunt, definitely, in his series of Light of the World, where it has Jesus knocking at the door. And if you notice in that piece, there's no handle. The handle is on the inside of the door. And we all know what that story is about. But I didn't really see a lot of proliferation of prophetic art until maybe the past 10 years or so. There was a little bit to do with the Toronto Blessing. There might have been little pieces here and there. I even had a couple of ideas, but it really didn't happen until the early 21st century.
So what is it? What is prophetic art?
Prophetic art has many different forms. The one that is the style that is the most well known is that there would be artists doing fluidic type acrylic or oil paintings on stage during the actual worship time. And one artist like this is Christine Peterkins at Toronto Catch the Fire. She was one of the first ones that I've seen, but there are many, many others. And I have seen others on Facebook. And my former employer, Darren Canning, also does this as well, although it's not always in the context of an actual worship service. And I was encouraged to do this as well at Ottawa's Catch the Fire.
In fact, there was a prophetic art piece created at a recent event at YWAM here in Worcester. YWAM's Got Talent, and a lady started from scratch and ended up with a beautiful... she did a lot of it with her hands, actually, directly onto the canvas.
Her hands on her brush. Yeah, yeah. It was her depiction of the sewer, which is actually quite well done. It was very simply done. But when you have a limited time frame, it has to be very simply done. And I actually wanted to, I felt my art come alive again when, like, I set it aside for a time, with the exception of doing the occasional drawing, or if I was on holiday, or if I was working with children. So I would do certain projects in, like, St. Paul's Anglican Church. I would do projects with the children. But I didn't really do anything really, really prophetic and vibrant in that way until Harvest School. Let me back up and explain what prophetic art does. There is regular Christian art, which is art to do with designs and thoughts and concepts that are theological. And these are very good. They are thought out. And some of this could be liturgical art, like in banners. Or I did a magazine illustration for Canadian Baptist Magazine in 1989. And that was actually considered controversial at the time because I did the first abstracted piece. which actually went very well. There was one negative person, but there's always some haters, right? Anyway, so then the difference between that and something that is overtly prophetic is it's almost like Holy Spirit is giving a message to the viewer. And so not only is it meant to be a delight to the eyes or meant to make you think, however, because there's many different messages to art, but also it's meant to speak to your spirit and your heart. So it goes beyond the mind and it just impacts you in an intuitive way. And quite often this could be done in the context of worship. So I wanted to do this at the Harvest School, but I did not have I can paint, but because of our limited space of taking things to Mozambique and later South Africa, I couldn't really bring paints and brushes and canvases and all that. So I stuck to my first art love, which is drawing. But drawing takes longer. Drawing is smaller. Drawing is very, very concentrated. You can't go as quickly as you can in that painting you were telling me about at YWAM. It's something that's very, very focused. And I had also been told by someone at one of the Ottawa churches who does prophetic art, beautiful prophetic art, and she was under the misconception that if you were already an artist, you couldn't really do prophetic art because it got in the way. Well, not necessarily. I happened to share this concern, and I didn't feel right about it because that was a blockage to me, and I really wanted to do prophetic art. So my then employer, Darren Canning, who is a Canadian prophet and artist in his own right, he had said, that's not true. That is one form of prophetic art. It is not all prophetic art. You are prophetic. You are an artist. Therefore, you can be a prophetic artist. Ask Holy Spirit. So what I did was, a few months later, we had these evening services, maybe once a month, for Ottawa Catch the Fire, and I was involved in three different churches, and this was the one that was the most conducive for actually doing prophetic art, because I could actually see to draw, whereas my Anglican church, the worship is too short to really do anything, and the Kingdom Culture Church, they're a millennial-type church, so they would turn the lights off, making it like a concert-like venue, like what Hillsong and Bethel do. Actually, Bethel does keep the lights up a little bit, so you can still draw there. So I wasn't able to really draw in those contexts, but in Catch the Fire, Ottawa, I was. And they would have these worship nights where they wouldn't have any preaching at all, and they would worship for 3 hours. So that particular night, on my first time, I drew the start of two drawings, and I finished one and gave it to the leaders as an almost tithe, and it was prophetic percussion. My Boren and Trisha's djembe and tambourine were all on fire, and it was like it was speaking through the fire. So I gave that to Trisha, and then I also drew, I saw this impression of angels singing, and one had a trumpet and the others were singing, and one of them was a cherub, so you can see the six different wings, or a seraph, I should say. And so I did this, and this is one of the drawings that is coming in the Doxa Festival. And then I did other ones. But the one that seemed to shine, until we get to the one of Jesus and children, was one that I had this impression during worship at YWAM Worcester, and I saw a lamb on a throne, which was a good image because that's something that I had seen in a Precious Moments gallery that we were in Joplin, Missouri. And I had wanted to buy that at the time, but I didn't get to. I should have, but I didn't. Anyways, but the image of the lamb on the throne really, really impacted me. So I saw the lamb on the throne, and then lightning and thunder and a big rainbow around the throne. And then I noticed the guitarist. So he got in the drawing because he was right in front of me. So he was beside the lamb and only a little bit further away. And then there was a girl in front of me who had her arms up in worship, and she ended up being in the drawing. So I was really excited about what was happening. And the funny thing is, this is not the first time this has happened, where I would be given an impression, and it would lead right into something that would happen afterwards, either in another song or in the upcoming sermon or what have you. And the last song of the worship set was Revelation Song, which is exactly what I was drawing. So this was like, ha, 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 Lord, you just did it to me again. So I finished this, and it's another drawing that's in the Doxa Festival. And what's amazing is when I was going to fill in some of these drawings with colored pencil, Holy Spirit stopped me and said, no, don't fill it in yet. Have Tony scan it and have it as coloring book images for the children.
Let's step back a little bit. You have multiple styles in your art. It goes back to your teenage years when you first started. Are you using several styles for the prophetic art, or is it coming down to one primary style?
When it comes to the actual prophetic, at this point, it is the more recent style that I started doing in the late 1980s with very, very strong line and patches of color. Although the past year or so, maybe a year and a half or so, I have been doing intricate shading so that it's not like a Mondrian where it would have mostly line and a little bit of color here and there, but I actually fill in a lot more. So it looks more like children's illustration. So it's absolutely perfect for that.
Now, you've said a little bit about receiving your inspiration. Tell us a little bit more about that. Go in more depth as to how you feel this inspiration is coming into your mind.
Well, artists are usually inspired by Holy Spirit intuitively. And because I am a creative, it's easy for me to receive that way. I don't always get it, but I often do. And so sometimes in the worship context, when we're singing worship, worship songs, I would close my eyes and I would see a little picture in my mind's eye of, like, some people call them impressions. And like, if it was a vision, it would be like a movie type of thing. And so I would see, in the case of those three angels, I saw these angels worshiping through a mist. So then I attempted to draw it. And it was the same thing with the impression of for Revelation Song. Then there was an impression that I had of what I was asking Holy Spirit for some kind of inspiration for the third drawing that would go for the Doxa Festival. So I went and did something called soaking prayer, which is to ask Holy Spirit to speak, and you go and comfortably sit or lie down and listen to soft worship music, and you focus on Jesus. And quite often you'll be filled with deep peace, and sometimes you get impressions or little words or the like. And so I had asked Holy Spirit what I should draw for the Doxa Festival. And because spring was coming up, that was a definite theme. And I got a little impression of me running, and I can't run anymore, me running as a little girl in a spring flower field of namaqua daisies. They're like daisies, orange daisies with black centers, with Jesus. And so I went, okay, I'll see how, and I had no idea how I was going to do this, because sometimes you can't always draw the impressions as you receive them. So I looked over some drawings I already have, and there was a sketch that I had done way back of Jesus encountering a little girl, and he had his hand just cupped around the bottom of her face, like lovingly, tenderly. And so I redrew that, and drew them on a hill with spring flowers coming into bloom. And in the background, I had the Namibian desert, which is a famous desert with orange sand dunes and these petrified trees. And so I had the combination together, and it worked beautifully. It's called Jesus Makes All Things New. So this was a combination of prophetic drawing, but also planned drawing. So this was a little different than, it wasn't born out of the context of having a worship experience, but it was still prophetic. And then I went further on. I went to finish that drawing in the black and white, and then into color. And it was like I was directed to start another drawing, even though I hadn't finished that one. And in this one, I had Jesus sitting on a tree stump, and he was facing, the actual image that came up in Google Images was a deacon, actually, who was facing them, and they were about four kids, just regular, you know, Western white kids. And I was inspired to, instead of drawing these kids, to draw some of our kids from two of the different kids clubs we have. So I had one little girl from Avian Park, a little girl called Francesca, and the other ones, I added another two children. They were from Fink Riviere. We had David and Keenan and Lydia and Min Marie and Desnay. And it was interesting seeing the reactions of these children. Francesca in Avian Park, she looked like she was embarrassed and covered her face. It was the same thing with Lydia in Fink Riviere. Desnay, well, Desnay's four. She doesn't mind in either way. Min Marie was amazed and almost had a sense of wonder, like, wow, I've been noticed. Jesus noticed me, because I told her that Holy Spirit had encouraged me to put her, to remember her as well as these specific children. And the others, I mean, Keenan's five. He was okay with it too, but he was surprised. And I also shared this with the children that we teach in Masterpiece Academy. They were completely a different demographic group, and they were excited to model, to be potential children in front of Jesus. So that's going to be a future piece, and that's something that I've actually planned. But at the same time, that'll be prophetic. It'll be Jesus with Black African children, and not just, I'll be working with different demographics, because Jesus loves all children. Sometimes when I'm praying for a specific place, or I'm in conversation, I might have a little impression, like this is outside the context of worship. That's a whole other inspiration. And I might have a little picture of that place. Here's a local example. There is a ministry called the Kibbutz that was started in the 1990s in the Rudaval Township. And I am loosely connected to them through the Changemakers, as I'm a bookkeeper for them. And the first time that we visited the Kibbutz, we met the amazing people there. And I remember sitting in their courtyard having a coffee. And I just had this very strong impression of the place being like an oasis. And the outside part of Rudaval was a desert. Actually, it is. It's kind of like deserty sand. And so I had this impression of Father Heart coming down, Father Heart of Love coming down through a rainbow, touching the kibbutz as this oasis and filling it with love. And then out of the oasis, it was coming living water. So I drew the tops of the buildings, a little more African than they are, and the surrounding walls with ivy. And then over the walls came a couple of waterfalls and streams coming through. So I had a toddler sleeping under the waterfall, another boy who was near the waterfall, and he was maybe about eight, holding a heart because he was experiencing the heart of the Father for him, and a couple other children playing in the stream. And so I did this drawing and presented it to Arena, who was the one who originally started the kibbutz. She fell in love with it and she framed it. And then together later on, as Changemakers people, we presented it as a gift to the kibbutz. And apparently what I had drawn was right in line with the impression and the leading that the kibbutz had been having from day one. So it was a wonderful confirmation to them and to us. And I'm hoping that I have some kind of impression that I can draw for my father's house, Worcester, that we're also involved in, and definitely the Changemakers, which is now on the other side of Rudaval.
As you've explained, prophetic art comes from the Holy Spirit. And the artist's job, if I understood you correctly, is to capture the essence of a godly concept and interpret it in a way which will inspire others. Can you give an example of one or more of your pieces and how they have inspired others that you're aware of?
There is one piece that I started to draw in Bethel Church in Redding, California. And they loved the idea of wine as in new wine, pouring from the heart of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I had a heart, but the heart was a rainbow heart. And so there were many different layers to the heart, and then it spiraled off to become another rainbow. And I have a lot of rainbows in my recent drawings. And there was literally wine coming into a wine glass, and then also drips coming down into a honey pot. And as I remember showing quite a few people that drawing before it was finished, before it was, when it was still a pencil sketch, and people absolutely loved it. They picked up the sense of love and deep compassion from God to us, his people, and to not just us as people, but all people in this drawing. So they were inspired.
Now, if anybody's listening and maybe they weren't aware of the Doxa Festival that's coming up just in a couple of days' time, where can they find you if they come to Worcester Christian Church?
They will find me in one of the galleries. There's going to be Gallery 1, which is the major gallery in the church gymnasium. There's going to be some well-known South African artists who I don't personally know, but I'm coming to know South African art. Then there's going to be two other galleries. One of them is going to be Prophetic Art, where I believe that they'll have me, which will be Gallery 2. And then there's Gallery 3, which is general, not necessarily overtly Christian art, but done by Christian artists. So I will be in one of those galleries. I also have a shift taking funds for any people who want to buy some of the art between 5 and 6 p.m. But the galleries will be open from 10 until 6, as well as many other aspects at that festival.
I'd like to thank you, Lauriane, for this. It's more like a conversation than an interview, and that's great. And keep on listening, folks, because the next item on the show tonight is Lauriane's Ways to Grow in God. So you're going to hear her voice a little bit more today.